A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Comfort, give comfort to my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her service is at an end. Her guilt is expiated. Indeed, she has received from the hand of the Lord double for all her sins. A voice cries out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wasteland a highway for our God. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The rugged land shall be made plain, the rough country a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Go up onto a high mountain, Zion, herald of glad tidings. Cry out at the top of your voice, Jerusalem, herald of good news. Fear not to cry out, and say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. He comes with power, the Lord God, who rules by his strong arm. He is his reward with him, his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he feeds his flock. In his arms, he gathers the lambs, carrying them in his bosom and leading the ewes with care. The word of the Lord. A reading from the second letter of St. Peter. Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years like one day. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some regard delay. But he is patient with you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a mighty roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done on it will be found out. Since everything is to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be? Conducting yourselves in holiness and devotion, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved in flames and the elements melted by fire. But according to his promise, we await new heavens and new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you await these things, be eager to be found without spot or blemish before him. At peace. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. John the Baptist appeared in the desert, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. People of the whole Judean countryside and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He fed on locusts and wild honey, and this is what he proclaimed. One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of the Lord. I remembered something that happened to me back in high school as I was thinking about our readings this past week. I was a senior, it was the spring semester, and I had an upper-level French class for my last period of the day. I have to admit that I did have a pretty good case of senioritis that semester. My grades were good, I had been accepted into college, and so I was kind of coasting. As you may know, that can be dangerous. So I walked into this French class on a Friday afternoon, expecting an easy day, and I was rudely awakened by the fact that we had a presentation to give that day. I had completely forgotten about it. My heart sank into my stomach. We were supposed to take a passage that we had been given, each of us a different one, read it aloud in French, then read the translation of it we made into English, and then say something about what it means, again in French. As the bell rang and we settled in for the class, I wondered if I should just go up to the teacher, Mrs. Beckner, and tell her that I had forgotten about the assignment and plead with her to let me make it up. But it was too late. Before I could move, she had called on the first person to come up and give her presentation. I decided the best thing I could do at that point was just put something together as fast as I could and hope I could just squeeze by with a passing grade. After the first presentation, Mrs. Beckner, whom we called Madam Beckner, called on another student to give his presentation. She seemed to be calling on people randomly, so I didn't know when my time would come. It was nerve-wracking. So I just kept working as fast as I could, and I tried to seem like I was paying attention to the other presentations whenever Madame Beckner appeared to be looking in my direction. Fortunately, I had a good friend who was sitting right in front of me, and she moved her desk so that she would block the direct line of sight. And she said she would volunteer her own presentation if Madame Beckner focused on me. She was ready to fall on a grenade for me. And do you know what happened? Madame Beckner didn't call on me till the very last person. She knew exactly what I had been doing. She probably knew right from the start, from the look on my face when I heard that our presentations were due that day. And if she didn't know it then, she certainly knew it when she saw me working feverishly during the other presentations. I wasn't fooling her for a minute. But she gave me the time I needed in the class to get the work done so that I would have something to present. The truth was, she didn't want me to fail. It was a great act of mercy, and obviously, I've never forgotten it. That memory came into my mind this week because it seemed to illustrate perfectly our second reading from the second letter of St. Peter. God says to us through the sacred author, "The Lord does not delay his promise as some regard delay, but he is patient with you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God wants every single person he has ever created and ever will create to be unified with him for all eternity. That's why he sent his only begotten Son into the world, to tell us and show us his infinite love for humanity and his plan for our reconciliation and our sharing in divine life. The earliest Christians thought that Jesus would return in glory and judgment right after his ascension. But as the decades and then the centuries came and went, the church understood this passage and others like it more fully. God wanted the saving gospel to go out to all the nations and to all peoples on the face of this earth so that everyone might be saved in Jesus Christ. And God made time a function of this creation so that it would be the medium in which more and more people would gradually come to know his truth, to love him, to repent of their sins, and to orient their lives to eternal life. The author of 2 Peter says, "But according to God's promise, we await new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." We Christians do believe that this world is not our permanent home. It is passing away. At the end of time, which only the Father knows when it will be, this world will come to an end. But that will not be the end of our story. As 2 Peter says, new heavens and a new earth will be formed, which will be much better than anything we know now. St. Paul says the same thing in his letter to the Romans, where he writes, "For creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God, that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God." In the new heavens and the new earth, there will be no more decay or corruption of any living thing. There will be no more sickness or pain, no pandemics. There will be no more regret or loss. A whole new universe will be there for the children of God to discover and enjoy in gladness and peace, immersed in God's love and joined by the love of all our brothers and sisters from every nation, race, people, and tongue. Yes, God gives humanity time in this world to get ready for its end and to anticipate the beginning of the glory that has been promised and will come. But none of us knows how much time. Going back to my story about that French class, Madame Beckner gave me that grace period to the end of the class to finish my assignment, but she wasn't going to be able to help me once the bell rang and the class was over. This age of the church, of Christianity, is known as the age of grace, in which we are given the time and every spiritual help to finish the assignments God has given us and be ready to present to him lives of holiness and devotion, as St. Peter says, when our Lord will come unexpectedly. This Advent season, which we celebrate at the beginning of every liturgical year, is meant to heighten our awareness of the need to actively wait and even hasten the coming of that day of the Lord. Let us make good use of our time and not ignore God's patience.